This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, March 18th. Well, wheat markets have been chopping around in a fairly narrow range over the last several days. On Tuesday, the markets dropped down and tested the breakout levels in Chicago and Kansas City almost to the penny, and then we bounced back up, giving us a small reversal up. So it did look like a spike low. But since then, we've not had any follow-through to the upside. Yesterday was pretty flat. Today, we're coming back down and testing Tuesday's lows. So we're back down testing the major breakout levels, particularly in Kansas City. I would expect these levels would hold, but we'll just see how things progress. Of course, we've got plenty of moisture coming across the central and southern plains moving into the Midwest. So anything that had been dry from the central part of the central plains on east has pretty much been recharged, and even the dry, fairly large region of the western plains, even though it's still dry and still in a drought status, this was a major rain event, and it should go a long way to establishing the crop as it's really getting in its major growth stages. So we're breaking dormancy pretty much across the central plains, and the wheat is greening up well, and you've got this major source, shot of moisture. So at least for the next few weeks, the wheat crop should be fine. You know, moisture demands aren't huge this time of year, and temperatures are still relatively cool. So again, this was a very important rain event, especially for those very dry regions of the panhandles, far western Kansas, eastern Colorado, which had really been dry, western Nebraska. It's just a huge shot in the arm for the wheat crop and pasture conditions and spring crops as well. So that's been part of the sluggishness in the wheat space. We're also seeing some just drifting lower in world cash prices. European prices are down a couple dollars a ton this coming into this week, so that obviously is a drag on FOB values everywhere. The Black Sea also is just drifting lower. Russia still hasn't sold any notable amounts of wheat, but they are putting out offers, so they're trying to stay in the game. You know, they're a little bit higher than the rest of the world FOB offers, but not that far away. So if they are that close to world offers and their offers are out there, that's going to serve, I think, as a lid on prices as well. So as we wrap up pretty much the demand season for this marketing year, the market will, it's looking at world prices kind of a drift to basically a bit lower, and it's going to really shift its focus over to weather. Here in the U.S., of course, we just talked about the rain event through the plains, and that will keep a lid on things, on price action, I think, for a while. The rest of the northern hemisphere actually looks pretty good as well. The Europeans aren't short of moisture. They should be breaking dormancy here in a couple weeks. We'll get a better look at those crops. Same thing with the Black Sea. They seeded their winter crops into fairly dry conditions, but they had record plantings for wheat, and since then they've had a relatively mild winter. There is a region that is under some ice pack, and they're worried about suffocating the wheat. That, you know, we'll just see how that looks when it breaks dormancy. For the most part, at this point, we don't see any major weather issues coming about. Now, last year, Russia had ideal weather, except in the southern region, which is why they have an export tax on in the first place. The southern region normally is a very productive region and where most of the exportable supplies come from. Last year they had some difficult weather. The production was lower than what the trade expected, and the trade was caught short of product when it came time to deliver on sales that they'd already booked. So they had to move further inland to originate wheat. That pushed up domestic prices to all-time highs, and that's why the government stepped in and imposed an export tax. That tax is expected to stay in place into the next harvest, and after that it really just depends on what kind of harvest they get. The government is trying to protect domestic supplies and keep domestic prices in check. And that's happening. So, we'll, again, and that's going to keep a lid on exporter offers well into the harvest season at this point. I mean, the government can lift this if they see a big crop coming, but it's unlikely that they will lift that export tax until well into June at the earliest, as their harvest will start in July and they'll get a better handle on it. My guess is they're going to want to see the harvest going through the combines at least before they determine that they can lift or reduce the export tax. The rest of the Northern Hemisphere, of course, Europe, the United States, Canada, those are the major exporters. Pretty much everybody's sitting on decent conditions at this point. I will say that the Northern Plains, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, is in a drought, almost the entire region is in a drought status, with much of North Dakota, especially the western half, in a major drought status. And of course, that stretches to eastern North Dakota. Well, that's spring wheat country, and I think spring wheat could be the real sleeper here. You know, you've got very high prices in corn and beans. You're going to have high insurance guarantees. The lure to plant corn and soybeans way into North Dakota is huge. Of course, with Minnesota, that's, I think, an easy swap, and even into, you know, the central part of South Dakota. So you could start to lose some spring wheat acres to the row crops, and couple that on top of dry conditions already present across major spring wheat country. And then when you look at NOAA's longer term outlook for the summer, they're calling for much above normal temperatures across the northern plains and slightly below normal rainfall. It's not unusual to see hot and dry across the northern plains. So spring wheat is looking at, I think, a difficult situation no matter what angle you look at it from. It'd be hard to see that we would have an increase in spring wheat acres. Maybe Montana on a loss of winter wheat acres in some regions. But as far as the Dakotas, which is really the heart of spring wheat country, and even up into the Canadian prairies where they have other choices, you could see a notable drop in spring wheat acres. So this is just something we're keeping an eye on. Then you throw some weather on it, and all of a sudden you have a significant shift in the fundamentals of the spring wheat complex. Just keeping an eye on that. Some of the other issues going on with wheat do pertain to the feed grain market. And of course, world demand for feed grains has been huge, much of it coming from China, but they're driving the demand base of this and they're driving price action. Feed grain demand probably, well, it will stay strong, but we're seeing more feed grain supplies coming out of South America, especially in soybeans right now out of Brazil. Argentina will be gearing up for their corn harvest, and that's expected to start hitting the pipeline as well. So in a couple months, so that, you know, we're going to have a consistent supply coming out of South America. What we do note, however, and this is important, is that Brazil's second season crop, which is primarily corn, is very late because of the late planted soybeans, later even yet harvested soybeans, and now the corn crop is going in at least 3 weeks late, which is significant. And that's going to push the growing season into the drier part of the season for Brazil. Now, this is something that will take time to develop, but if that's the case, and the odds are pretty high that it will, then I think corn stays well supported coming into the May-June time window. And of course, that's right about the time that weather markets might start hitting the U.S. as well. So, the corn market, I think, continues to be well supported. It's going to have some pressure because of the drag in wheat and because of harvest going on in Argentina. But with the Brazil issue going on, and you know, who knows what the weather will be in the central U.S. during the growing season. But any hint of a weather problem, I think, just sends corn sharply higher. And soybeans as well. Soybeans aren't that far behind from a fundamental standpoint as far as demand and supply tightness. Both corn and soybeans are potentially looking at record or near record low stocks to use ratios because of the demand and because of the drop in yields coming out of South America and carry over the poor yields here in the United States from a late season drought. So I think the the bottom line is for the grain space, we're still in a demand-driven bull market. We're running into some headwinds here because of harvests in South America and very good rains across key areas of winter wheat country. But that doesn't change the longer-term trend, which is up. It just kind of stalls things out and quiets things down. I think corn is probably the most bullish component, and soybeans aren't that far behind. With wheat, it's in a bull market on its own because of demand. It's very strong. It continues to improve, and the tight feed grain supplies continue to support wheat. But it's because of, you know, weather issues and or weather, you know, plenty of rain. It's probably not quite as bullish as it was here a month ago or so, but it's certainly not going to be left behind if you get a move going on in corn and beans. And wheat will be first up as far as the growing season and any potential weather developments there. Export sales this morning were 529,000 tons, pretty decent toward the high end of the range of estimates. China was a significant presence. They took 67,000 tons of spring wheat, and that was switched over from unknown. They also took 65,000 tons of white wheat, also switched over from unknown. And then they took 65,000 tons of new crop soft white wheat. So they're definitely making a presence in the wheat market. Corn export sales of 1.2 million tons. That was above the high end of the range of estimates. China took half of that, 624,000 tons. Soybeans, pretty quiet, 202,000 tons. That was toward the low end of the range. China just took 71,000. So soybeans running into a bit of a lull here. Clearly, with the Brazilian harvest finally ramping up, the demand is going to shift over to South America. And we would expect that that's normal. And so we don't expect to see a huge amount of demand surface here unless you get something out of left field in Brazil. But at this point, they're loading ships as fast as they can. And the harvest has had its challenges, but it's going to continue. And they're still projecting a record crop out of Brazil. Not specifically because the yields were off the charts, but they did have record plantings. So we would expect that soybeans would not be the leader, at least to the upside here for the next few months until we get into the kind of the heart of the growing season here in the United States if we get a weather problem. If you have any questions, you can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.